Now, there can't be many people who don't enjoy a good Chinese takeaway. But then they want to recreate what they've tasted at home. And that's where the problem starts. Well, now help is at hand with the launch of a new book, The Complete Chinese Takeaway, by chef, restaurateur and martial arts expert Kwok-Lin Wan, who will be cooking some exciting dishes for visitors to the BBC Good Food Show Summer at the NEC in Birmingham, which runs from the 15th to the 18th of June. And I'm delighted to say he joins me on the line. How lovely to talk to you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm loving the intro. So thank you very much.
Justly deserved, Kwok-Lin, justly deserved. Now, many people will know you from your TV appearances, and I'm sure they've got some of your previous books on their shelves as well. But I just wanted to check in really as to how it all sort of started for you.
Well, it was way before I was born, actually. So my granddad came over in the 1950s, noticed that Leicester at the time didn't have a Chinese restaurant. So in 1962, he actually opened Leicester's first restaurant serving Chinese food. And the story kind of starts there.
Was it an instant thing for you, or did you have aspirations to do other things?
Yeah, I actually went off and did the things that I wanted to do as well. So I grew up above my mum and dad's Chinese restaurant. So, of course, it was, you know, where we worked at the weekend. Even during the week, if they were busy, they would literally call us from upstairs and say, would you come and give us a hand? So I kind of learned the trade at a very young age. Now, as you mentioned, I'm a martial artist as well. So it was just that was something that I wanted to go and explore on my own. So I've actually got a full-time kung fu school here in Leicester as well.
Oh, wow. Gosh, goodness me. Fantastic. One thing we'll talk about your books a little later on because they're fascinating. There's some really interesting stuff in there. I've always wondered, people who run Chinese restaurants and Chinese takeaways, is that the sort of food that the family would eat as well? Or were there very different things that you ate as a family?
Yeah, I mean... Yes and no. Like I say, sometimes we all just fancy chili beef or, you know, a bowl of hot and sour soup.
Who doesn't?
And we're very lucky that if you work or live within, you know, a Cantonese restaurant or takeaway, you can get that on hand. But the weird dishes, you know, like mum used to cook a roast dinner on a Sunday, just like everybody else, you know, whether that be roast beef, roast lamb, roast chicken. I suppose the only difference is we always had rice with our dinner. So rice and gravy, the best thing since sliced bread. And that was kind of food that we were eating. But yeah, we had the Chinese takeaway food, we had more traditional Chinese food, and then the good old roast dinner on a Sunday.
That I loved what you just said there. Rice and gravy, the best thing since sliced bread. That's a t-shirt in the making. That is, I love that. Now,
yeah, I'll be slowly converting the UK into rice and gravy lovers.
Go-to carbohydrate is to go with your gravy. Brilliant. We're really looking forward to, everybody's looking forward to the BBC Good Food Show Summer at the NEC. You're there on the 15th, I think, aren't you?
I am.
What are you looking forward to most about the show?
Well, again, it's just a fabulous show. So, you know, it'd be nice that I'm actually going to be behind the scenes a little bit. Obviously, I'm going to be up on the stage and showing people how to cook some fabulous dishes. Obviously, I'm going to be like everybody else. I'm going to be checking out my favourite chefs and I'm going to be, you know, seeing what they're cooking up. And really just getting to know the audience, I guess, because I love chatting with people, especially about food.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of people will probably have tried their hand at a stir fry. But yes. There are so many other things, and you just have to look at the menus and the restaurants and the takeaways, don't you? But, I mean, first of all, what are you cooking at the show?
So I'm going to do a braised aubergine. So this is some nice aubergine stuffed with king prawns, braised in a lovely Cantonese sauce, actually, with garlic and ginger, spring onions, and a little bit of oyster sauce. And then my second dish, I'm actually doing a charred spring onion udon. And again, that's got sort of like, you know, there's got sour notes of the black vinegar. And again, very Cantonese. And it's, you know, but again, those big, fat, juicy noodles make it such a wonderful dish.
Absolutely. And is there a seasonality with Chinese cooking?
Yeah, you know, I guess there would have been back in the day, because, you know, it's not like now where you can pretty much get every ingredient that you can, you know, you walk into the supermarket and you can buy it. I suppose sort of like back in the day, it was, you know, if certain meats were in season or certain fishes and that's what you were cooking. And I suppose that's it's brilliant for stir fry in a sense that you can literally throw anything that you want into that dish and create fabulous food. just with, and then just using a couple of basics, like, you know, a little bit of soy sauce, a little bit of salt, a little bit of white pepper, maybe some spices, just to give it that flavor. But, you know, again, the ingredients, the actual raw ingredients can be anything that you want.
Lots of people who cook at home Indian food, for example, will know, and the ones like me who are quite quite enthusiastic, have a little tin called a masala dabba. And in that it has, you know, cumin and coriander and methi seeds and turmeric and chili and things like that. Is there an equivalent for Chinese cooking?
I guess there's an equivalent as far as a Chinese, we call it a Chinese basket. Mm-hmm. So you've got a basket. My mum and dad have got one on their side. I've got a cupboard. I've got a shelf, actually, with all my store ingredients on. So things like oyster sauce, light soy sauce, dark soy sauce, sesame oil, rice vinegar, black vinegar, and chicken powder. You'll be surprised at
chicken
how much chicken powder. Yeah, you know what? I mean, stock cubes are great, but if you want to get that authentic Chinese takeaway, Cantonese flavour, use chicken powder. And you get such a depth of flavour with it.
Top tip number one, go out and get some chicken powder. Fantastic.
Yeah,
so
what
other sort of ingredients couldn't you do without Kuo-Pin?
Well, you know, being Chinese, I think that's got to be rice. Mm. Rice is way up there on the list. And same with noodles. Now, you know, those noodles could be rice noodles if you're gluten intolerant. They could be your egg noodles. They could even be the big, fat, thick udon noodles. So again, we need noodles. Most of my cooking, I always use a light soy sauce for the saltiness. Dark soy sauce tends to be there with, you know, for colour and a little bit of sweetness. So you can actually do without dark soy sauce, if I'm completely honest.
Mm.
Oyster sauce, is another must, I think. So I think you'll find that with a lot of Cantonese dishes, it will have some oyster sauce. And also as well, oyster sauce and soy sauce and the sesame oil, which is another thing you need. They're fantastic for velveting the meat. So if you've noticed, if you ever go into a Chinese restaurant or takeaway, the meat is always juicy and it's never really dried out. What they do, they marinate the meat a good 20 minutes, half an hour before they cook. So we've got big vats of beef and king prawns and chickens that have been pre-marinated. So when we do cook them, they're really juicy. And again, you use your oyster sauce, the sesame oil, the soy sauce for that.
My mouth is watering just listening to you talk about it. BBC Good Food Show Summer is at the NEC in Birmingham from Thursday the 15th to Sunday the 18th of June. Lots of information on the website bbcgoodfoodshow.com/summer. And remember that tickets to BBC Good Food Show will also get you into BBC Gardeners World Live, 2 for 1. Now, Kuo-Pin, you've explained your background and how cooking became a job and a passion and a job for you. There are lots of young people who come to the BBC Good Food Shows to see celebrity chefs like yourself and to learn, but also perhaps to aspire to do what you've done. What advice would you give them if they were thinking about taking up a culinary career?
I guess the biggest advice I would offer is, when you become a chef and you're going to work within the commercial industry or restaurant game or whatever you want to call it, it really is a way of life. So don't think for one second that you're going to have a life outside of cooking, because it really does take over. And I think most people nowadays, especially, you know, when they can watch these films and they can watch the chefs on TV, I think they really do appreciate that these chefs, they spend 18 hours a day in that kitchen. And then the other hours are literally just trying to get some, you know, some sleep and catch up on sort of, like, you know, a bit of rest, really. So I think, you know, if you're going to be a really good chef and really make it in the world, you need to understand that you're going to put some serious hours in for the love that you've chosen.
Absolutely. Now, lots of people coming to the show come to enjoy good things and perhaps splash out a little bit, treat themselves on some of the artisan products that are going to be there. But there will be a lot of people, understandably, who are watching the pennies a little bit. So what tips have you got for some budget-friendly cooking?
Yeah, I think Chinese food, again, is perfect for this. The good old stir fry, so you can literally use a handful of rice, which is going to cost you pence. Get that pre-cooked. Get, you know, all the leftover veggies. So open your fridge, and even if you've got silly things that you're thinking that just wouldn't go well with this stir fry, you'll be surprised. So that includes salad, iceberg lettuce, tomatoes, the leftover of a bit of onion, the leftover, you know, clove of garlic. chop it all up, get it stir fried, add the rice, you make a lovely fried rice, a little bit of seasoning, and you've really got a meal that's costing you a few pence to make.
Absolutely. Now, rice, I just want to touch on rice before we talk about your latest book and some of the fantastic stuff that's in it. Everybody that I know who cooks rice has a different way of doing it. And the one that I tend to use, and a lot of people use, is the absorption method. What is your top tip for cooking perfect rice?
Okay, then. So literally, we don't measure or weigh rice. You put enough rice in, you're thinking, okay, that's going to be enough for two or three people. You've got to remember, rice does swell, so you know you probably don't need to put in as much as you think. Wash the rice at least two or three times in lukewarm water. This will just discard any excess starch. Then fill the pan with enough water so the water sits approximately to your first knuckle. So if you dip your finger into the pot, you want the water to touch your first knuckle. Mm-hmm. Then put it onto a hard boil. And once that water has evaporated or been absorbed and you've got little craters in the pan, you can literally turn it down to its lowest setting or even switch it off at that point, pop a lid on it and forget about it for a good 15 minutes and you will have perfect boiled rice every single time.
Excellent. That's two, if not three, top tips we've got so far. Absolutely brilliant. Now, your new book, The Complete Chinese Takeaway, is, I think, your fourth or fifth book now. Is that right?
Yeah, The Complete Chinese Takeaway Cookbook is number five.
Five, actually. Right, okay.
Yeah.
So what's new in this? What can people expect to see in this?
Right there, you've caught me at it now. So I'm just going to grab that book off my shelf.
It's so new.
You've got to imagine now. This is book number five, so you've got to think now. This cookbook has 200 recipes in it, so I've got four cookbooks before that, and you're asking me what this cookbook.
So while you're getting it off the shelf to remind you, which is fair enough. What is the inspiration when you come to write a cookbook? Because there are lots of cookbooks out there, and people look for new things to try, new tastes, new flavors, new textures, new ideas. So when you're putting this and some of your other books together, what's been your process?
So, number one, it's got to be the food that I really enjoy eating. Number two, it's got to be food that's that really is accessible for everybody, so they can go to their local supermarket and pick up the ingredients. I think many of us have bought a cookbook in the past. We flicked through the recipes and there might be one or two recipes in there. We're thinking, okay, would like to try that, or I'd love to try that recipe. I can't get the ingredients. Yeah. I'm hoping that with my books, literally, you should be able to cook every single recipe. And when you flick through the pages, and you know, even if there isn't a picture, but if there is a picture, you're thinking, oh my goodness, I really do need to learn to cook that.
So what's the favorite? What have you got a favorite recipe from your new book?
I think I've mentioned it earlier, the shredded crispy chili beef. Yeah. Now this recipe has been, you know, my granddad, I don't know whether he invented it or he tweaked it out, but this recipe really is one of those winners. And everybody that I've known that has tried this recipe has come up with, you know, with gold basically. So I think you've got to try the shredded crispy chili beef. I'm flicking through now. What else have we got? Tofu with mushrooms, with Chinese mushrooms. Now, my mum loves Chinese mushrooms, and she also loves tofu. And again, that's why that dish is in the cookbook. So, you know, I'd be surprised if anybody flicks through this book and they're literally not dribbling all over the pages, to be quite honest.
All the best cookbooks have got smears on them, haven't they, where people have been cooking with the pages open. Absolutely, right.
I love it when people, you know, they send pictures of their books and they're just covered in oil splatter and sauces, because you know that it's been well used. And I think these books aren't meant to sit on your bookshelf. They're supposed to be next to the cooker, covered in oil splatter.
Absolutely. Now, we already have heard that you're from a family where cooking is very much part of that family scene. And many people will know, of course, that Gok is your brother. He's done a bit of TV cooking, hasn't he? Who's the best cook? Do you argue?
Well, you know what? We were filming together the other day and we were asked this very same question. And my brother will tell you, hand on heart, I am the better cook.
I think
the difference being is that Gok was front of house. So Gok would see the customers to their tables and serve their food. Whereas Big Brother, which is me, I was in the kitchen and I was cooking the dishes for these people.
Absolutely brilliant. BBC Good Food Show Summer is back at the NEC in Birmingham from Thursday the 15th of June to Sunday the 18th of June. BBCgoodfoodshow.com/summer is the website you need to go to find out exactly what's happening and, of course, importantly, to buy tickets. Quaklin, it's been fantastic to catch up with you. I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting to you. Just one final thing for you. There are lots of exhibitors at the shows who bring kit and ingredients and all the rest of it. I'm sure that many people will watch your demonstration and think, right, I need to try that now, but they need the right kit to do it. What couple of things would you say that they need? Kitchen utensils, implements or pans, whatever. What do they need to recreate your dishes?
It really does help if you've got a wok. It sounds crazy. You're cooking Chinese food. You know, why would you need anything other than a wok? Now, 99.9% of all the recipes that are in all of the Chinese cookbooks out there do require a good wok. And the reason I say wok and not frying pan is because a wok's got a high side. So when you're mixing that food or tossing it around, you don't want to be losing it all over your cooker and creating a right mess. So let's, you know, get yourself a nice deep wok. Non-stick, because, you know, we're cooking at home. We haven't got sort of like, you know, the flamethrowers that we would have in these Cantonese restaurants. So get yourself a good non-stick wok and you can pretty much cook every single dish that you love in that particular item.
Fantastic. And there's loads of sort of things that, because you can use the wok for frying as well, can't you? And
for frying, slotted, for sautéing, yeah, for sort of like, you know, for making soups, for steaming. You name it, you can pretty much do everything in a wok, to be quite honest.
You see, now we could end up talking for another hour about steaming baskets and dim sum and all the rest of it, but I know you've got lots of prep to do for the show. Quaklin, an absolute pleasure to catch up with you for now. Many thanks.
Thank you so much.